Shown up for this this meeting. First, second order of business is the adoption of the agenda. Are there any additions or deletions to that agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented. Point of order, item 2A is the adoption of the minutes. So we left that off. So is there a motion to approve the amended agenda?
So moved as amended.
Is there a second?
A second. It's Diane.
Moved and seconded. Questions on the motion? Seeing all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Motion stands, is carried, and the agenda for the meeting is adopted. Next, item 2A is the adoption of the minutes of our last Economic Development Committee meeting. Are there any additions or deletions to those minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve them as presented.
So moved.
Seconded by Ms. Kim Adams. Thank you. Any questions on the motion? All in favor of the motion to approve the minutes, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is carried. The minutes stand adopted as presented. Item number 3 is the Downtown Dover Partnership. I'd like to recognize Tina Bradbury for an update on small businesses and resources available.
Good afternoon. First and foremost, I want to start off with some sad news. Unfortunately, we had a loss. Before I go into everything, just so everybody is aware that's on here, if they haven't known already, we lost one of our merchants last Monday, Miss Ann Harris, one of the sisters from Top Notch Sewing. Flowers have been sent from the Downtown Dover Partnership and everybody in the city and the merchant for the services this coming Saturday. So, and if you are able to attend, services will be in Milford at Jesus's Love Temple at 12 p.m. this coming Saturday. Small Business Saturday, I wanted to give an update. We had a very good record sales day for all the businesses downtown. The energy on the street was very much appreciated by everybody. The stores were happy to see the liveliness, people coming out to support them. In talking with many of the merchants, the sales were up. Some of them even reported they were the best sales for a Small Business Saturday ever. And the momentum has continued in each of this weekend since then. Everybody's coming out to shop on the weekends. During the week, Diane and I noticed that the traffic is slow, but the weekends are being reported as very busy by all the merchants, which is giving them a good holiday sales for the most part. We did not have the market this year, which kind of deflected away from bringing more crowds. However, the incentive for the shopping gift cards for the 6, we usually do 4. The mayor matched us with doing an additional 2. So we had 6 $100 American Express gift cards that we raffled off, and that went very well and received. This year, since we only had the one day to do the in-person, we stretched it for sales from Black Friday all the way to Cyber Monday. And they were able to text a receipt or email a receipt to be entered. And then we did a drawing on Tuesday evening. And it was very well received with the text and email option. Any questions about Small Business Saturday? All right, I'll move on. And then we had the incentive that went so well. We continued to do that. Yes.
I think the mayor had a question.
Okay, sorry, I didn't see.
I guess I didn't win the gift card.
In regards to Small Business Saturday, no, you did not, sir, just to answer that, but we did do Facebook Lives throughout the businesses, which was really well received by the public for those that weren't able to come out, and then they were able to see some options in the store, and people reported to me that actually people saw the live and called them to either purchase something or ordered it, went online and looked for the option for those that do have e-commerce sites. The gift card incentive went very well. So we decided to do it again for the Capitol Tree holiday celebration. And we did that auction this past Tuesday night. And we had an additional 3 winners for that. And then this week, all the way through till Christmas Eve, we're doing another incentive. And they can do only options for that is text and email. So that's going on now until Christmas Eve. So it's incentivizing them to still shop with our merchants. We just did market dollars for downtown for Restoring Central Dover for the winners of their resident window decorating contest. So $150 will be put back into downtown with those dollars, which we may look at doing that. We were going to do a gift card program this year, but as I talked to Diane, I just decided against that because of the cost factor, and implementing that would be greater than the type of sales that we'd be able to encourage this year for that. Any other questions before I go into resources that are available?
Okay. Any members of the committee have questions for Tina?
I just wanted to clarify, Tina, we did hold the market throughout the summer. I wanted to make sure people recall that the marketplace wasn't held during Small Business Saturday because we couldn't have crowds of people, but the market was held throughout the summer. Just wanted to mention that.
It was a smaller version, the farmer's market this summer, but the Small Business Saturday market did not get held, and which is typically not the fruits and vegetables aspect or food. It's more just the vendors that is out there. But we did have the market, and hopefully we'll be able to continue with the food incubation district this summer, being able to help us with that.
All right, Ms. Tina, go ahead.
Okay, so the resources that are available currently, kind of, I'm not sure if Judy's on here, but some of them may be redundant to what her and Linda Prokowski, if she's on here as well. The DSU grant program for our website pilot that they're doing is going to take 8 to 12 recipients from the applications to provide them with assistance in developing a e-commerce site, giving them training and consultations for up to a year. And then there would be a small minimal fee after that. So it would be free to the 8 to 12 participants. And then, as I said, they would get a minimal fee after such. So those applications are rolling in now. And I do not know the exact closing day. I did not see that yet. But once I talk to Dr. Kasten some more, I will be able to go ahead and relay that to the merchants. The Dover Alumni Chapter of the Delta Sigma Theta is running a small grant program offering $150 for new or existing businesses. This is not a grant, but Councilman Anderson, I'm sure he's going to speak to that. He's doing he's looking for letters to support his movement that he's looking to do, electric deferment. And I know Councilman Anderson is on here, and so I'm sure he's going to speak further to that later on after I have to jump off. The SBDC webinar is coming up on 12/17. It's a free webinar at 4 p.m. This is going to help businesses with their challenges. They can get on there and open up to any kind of challenges that they're facing in regards to the pandemic, all the way up to racial inequality that's happening within their businesses and the struggles that they're facing. So that's, again, December the 17th at 4 p.m. The PPP loan forgiveness details are currently out from the SBA. There's more information coming as to changes and what's forgiven as part of this, as well as going forward and any changes. And if they did take out the EIDL loan and the PPP, all the things that can change between them. So that's coming up, and I will be always putting out more details so they can connect with the SBA to work on that with one of the resource partners there. There's current restaurant signage coming out. I think it is available from the Division of Small Business for the restaurants in regards to the changes that were put in place by Governor Carney. So that is on the Division of Small Business website. So they can put those on their doors and on their tabletops as requested by the governor. The Delaware Relief Grant is closed at this time. They're working to help people with additional funds that already applied earlier on, and then they're reviewing the current applications that closed on December the 4th. After they get through this round, they will look and see if it will reopen, but at this time it is closed. The last I checked, Kent County still had money in the pot, and I'm not sure if Linda's on here, if she'll be able to speak to that, for their $500 grants that were available. That started a few months back, but there was money the last that I checked. Ongoing things that we have just in general downtown is the raffle, as I mentioned earlier, the window decorating contest for the People's Choice, and the story walk through the library. We have a parking meeting, which is going to have public input in January, and I'm sure Diane's going to speak to that later on in the meeting. And then the marketplace option that's going for the Baird Plaza spot that Diane, I'm sure, will be speaking as well. And lastly is hopefully an occupancy of Mr. Lee's building. And we can't give out too much information on that because it is not a done deal as of yet. Any other questions in regards to resources for me or anything that's happening downtown?
I know Tina has another meeting to go to, so if you have any questions, please.
Councilman Anderson, I did want to ask him a quick question. Are you on, Councilman Anderson?
Yes, I am.
So the letters are just due tonight, correct, to you?
That's correct.
Okay.
That would be very helpful if people find it a valuable idea. And I've heard from some people, including the merchants downtown, that this would be. I'd like other council people to see that as well, if possible.
I do have a question about it, just so I can help relay that, because I know that with the electric for the business district, they have a flat rate, whether they're using, so if they're closed, for instance, in January, and they utilize the electric and it's under what the normal utilization is, they are still charged that flat rate. Is that, are you looking to potentially work on waiving that as well, or just the complete deferment?
Well, and that's the best part of it. For businesses that are totally impacted, and Mr. Hardline can help me with this, the businesses have to show impact. And they've lost revenue, or that they were closed, or something of that nature. If that is the case and they qualify, then it is their bill, regardless of what the cause of the bill is, whether that is a flat rate. In fact, that is part of the motivation that a business closes down and they still get bills. They need help. They need to be able to defer that till they can get on their feet. And that's the idea behind it.
Okay, so they're actual usage, like to make the bill be lower, because sometimes they're being hit with one of the problems that they're addressing with me is that their bill is going to be that set amount anyway, even though they're closed. It should be, I know you're deferring that, but the bill would typically be less if they were completely shut down. So that's one of their arguments that I'm just presenting to you, just to let you know that they wish that it could be a true reading versus a flat rate. They're being charged.
Well, so Tina, a couple of things about most people have some electricity use regardless. There's usually, even if they don't have a refrigerator or something, there's usually some, even if it's just to run the fan on the heater or something. But there's also a meter charge, which is charged to everybody. But the deferment is for all bills. And I haven't looked at it for a week now, but I believe we threw in water, sewer, and trash just because it would be the whole bill and just easier to deal with. And so they get up to 2 years to pay it back if they meet this, if they're in this niche of 35 employees and less, and that, et cetera. So the whole thing is forgiven as long as you get in the program, sign up, and all that kind of stuff. And, we're gonna set aside $50,000 to cover those bills. And the amount that we dedicate to you would be the amount of bills that we project you would use for that period of time that goes through October. You'd basically have 2 years to pay that back, and there wouldn't be any bill charge for that period of time.
Okay, and if they close, Matt, in that period of time, unfortunately, if they close, would they be called to pay that sooner than the 2 years because they are not actively in business and wouldn't have account?
If the business goes away, we'll probably just end up eating that. I guess we haven't, if we're going to have that follow the I guess that's one thing that isn't expressly put in the proposal as to whether that would, my guess is that, I think the purpose of it would be to, I mean, we don't want to encourage people to run out on a bill, but my guess is that we want to forgive that lessen the burden on people.
Yeah, we're hoping not to have any closures, but just in the event.
And one of the things is, did they have were they caught up on bills before this hit? So if you have a chronic problem, they're not going to be eligible anyway, because what we're trying to do is save those businesses that would have made it. If there was a business that was falling apart and, you know, unfortunately COVID was the last straw, that's not our priority as much as these businesses that were doing fine or doing well enough anyway, or getting started or whatever. And then this, you know, all this stuff came along that inhibited them from practicing their business the way they want to, or the way they should be able to, and all things considered. And this is a way to keep them viable.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure you'll get more letters. I know Councilman Anderson, he did get a few so far. So
well, it was his idea. So
yep. Well, thank you, everybody. If there's no other further questions, I'm going to go ahead and jump off.
And Mr. Mayor, if I can just add to Tina's couple of comments.
Please do.
Sometimes, thank you. She does a lot and doesn't remember some of the things that she does. And so I want to add to her small business update, in that she is on a regular basis working with merchants that come in for help. And in addition, some new businesses and potential new businesses, as well as facade grant applications and things like that. So, you know, because of COVID, we tend to think that everything's shutting down, but we have a lot going on that's very active. New investment and potential new business with the artisan market still very alive, getting very close to potentially signing a lease. And Mr. Lee's building, as she mentioned, alive in activity, even though it's been a long time dead. We have a new tax business in the downtown. I'm not sure she mentioned that. And even though 33 West is, you know, shuttered for the most part, the live restaurant, the food truck was extremely active on First Friday. And that was Tina's idea as well, to have Brandon down using the food truck from 11:30 to 7:30, constantly busy. So yeah, I just wanted to add those few things that we still work with pending new merchants. One of them, which is on attending the meeting here, is a potential new business in a key location in downtown Dover. So just wanted to add that.
Thanks, Diane.
You're welcome.
And especially since you brought up Brandon, I really would, while Matt and Councilman Anderson are on here, as well as the mayor, just hearing this, how well Brandon did, and taking a look, I know it was brought up at one time when Kirby was here, at the thought of having food trucks in the downtown, because there are still people working, and with many restaurants closed or just, you know, not open during the lunch crowd, it's been hard. So if we can try to look at the code and maybe doing something to make it a little easier for the food trucks to come on sporadic shifts. I did check in with some of the merchants that are, but because they're not even open, such as Diana, who had an issue last time when we looked at this, she's currently closed during lunch, so it would not affect her business. Brandon is closed, but he would love to bring the truck out a couple of times so he wouldn't have the overhead of the place. So I did approach Dave Hugg about it, and you know, he was going to look at some things, but I really would like to try to get that in the works, maybe after the January you know, time frame, when it gets a little colder and stuff, but maybe looking for February and March to, you know, implement such a thing.
All right, Tina, thank you. Ms. Laird,
go ahead.
Were the objections to food trucks health issues, or just they're not allowed as our ordinances are written?
At the ordinances, you're not allowed to go ahead and have them currently on the streets the way the ordinance is written.
Okay.
The health code is fine because they have their permits already in hand in the truck.
Okay.
So we would just be looking at the ordinance in place. And then the second factor was making sure that the restaurants were on board, because it does take away from them if they have a brick and mortar mm-hmm. for someone not paying a fee to be down and park in a space.
Right. Right.
Councilman gotcha. Anderson.
Thank you. And as a background, the original proposal, I believe, had something like allowing up to 10 trucks, which... So, I'm sure there's a lot of wiggle room if somebody were looking at two or three in an area as opposed to five or 10.
Correct. I would like to make a proposal, like I said, in January to try to bring something forth. So if, you know, there's no objection, maybe Councilman Anderson, if you don't see any being proposed by the rest of council, I'd like to bring that forward. I think it will help the businesses if they have somebody down there for lunch and so forth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Questions for Tina? All right, Ms. Tina, you may go.
Thank you, sir. Have a great week, everybody.
You too.
Thanks.
Next order of business is I'm pleased to welcome Monica LeBlanc, who is the president of the Kent County Realtors. We've asked her to give us a quick update on the last basically 9 months of the pandemic to see how our real estate market is faring, both commercial and residential. So, Monica, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you all for having me today. Kent County as a whole is pretty much holding steady. I think that the commercial market at this time, you know, even with the restaurants having to slow down in business and some of them, you know, possibly going out, as a whole, the commercial industry has kind of held their own. The rental market in Dover right now, most of the properties that are out there are 1,000 and up. The lower end market, for workforce people in Dover is kind of full right now. The average days on the market for the Dover area at 19904 is 35 days. And the 19901 address is 44 days. The average price is 230 for 19904 and average price is 225 for 19901. The market, we've got about in Kent County a year and 8 months supply. Of course, in the Dover area, it's a little short. We're seeing a lot of homes selling quickly. A lot of the realtors are getting offers when they list a house within a day, some of them within a week. So the market is still holding pretty good for this time of year. Normally people think that in December, January that we kind of closed down a little bit, but we really don't. We've been fortunate that the governor has allowed us to continue to operate and we are practicing all the social distancing, sanitizing the homes and things like that. We're not really doing any open houses if we can help it. We don't have what's called a broker's open anymore where the realtors will go in and view a home that hasn't sold. If houses are priced right now, they're still moving pretty strong. So the market's still pretty good.
So any members of the committee have questions for Ms. LeBlanc on real estate matters? Are you getting a lot of people from out of state moving here or?
We are getting tons of people from out of state. We are getting tons of people in the purchase and in the leasing industry. We are seeing a lot of movement in the healthcare divisions. People that are coming down here that are remote nursing and things like that up and down the state, a lot here in Kent County with the hospital here and then of course down in the Lewis area. A lot of them are coming and renting. We're getting a lot of people that are transferring from such companies as Walmart, Amazon into our area from New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey area, a lot of them.
Any questions?
Yes. I'm curious if you do commercial real estate or do any of these people that are relocating consult you for small business relocation or starting a small business and needing other space?
Yeah, I do some commercial and we do have some that come down that are self-employed a lot in the construction trades that we're seeing, probably a lot from the southern area of the country are coming here from Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, that are in the construction trade. I'm seeing a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. If you'd ever like a tour of any of the buildings in downtown Dover, we'd be pleased to set that up for you, particularly if you have service or retailers might be interested.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll let my agencies know.
Thank you.
Mr. Hogue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Monica, thank you for joining us. I'm interested in your sort of average price, $220,000 to $230,000 range. Where do you see the housing shortfalls in Dover? What's what's kind of missing in the marketplace that's not out there?
Well, the problem probably that we have mostly is for the first-time home buyers. Some of them, you know, there are some programs out there that they can get for down payment assistance. I think that the average homeowner that's selling, because of the increase in the 2% of the tax, the 4% tax transfer tax that we have, causes a problem for some people. Because if they are selling, they have to pay that. Then if they're going to buy, they have to pay it again. Even though some of the tax credits are there for the first-time home buyers, I think the problem is we don't have enough homes under the 250 range in the Dover area, even though the average price, according to our MLS in the third quarter, was 225 to 235. In the county alone, it's about 252. So I think, you know, a lot of the houses, the new construction houses that are being built, are over that range. We see a lot of homes on the market right now that are in the $300,000 range, and they've gone up quite a bit.
Okay. What about older housing stocks? Are we seeing interest in you know, houses that are 25, 50 years old as opposed to brand new ones?
Believe it or not, yes. And there's been quite a few of them on the market in the old Dover area that have actually been sold recently. I was just looking at one actually this afternoon that has been on the market. There's a lot of stuff up and down State Street. I just sold a property over on 135 Lotus Street. So yeah, a lot of the older homes are, and a lot of the people that are coming down and buying them are from out of state, and a lot of them are paying cash.
Wow. Wow. Okay. This is may not be a fair question. If you don't want to answer it, that's quite fine. A lot of investment has been made in the, I'll call it sort of old Dover, New Street, Queen Street, sort of old central part of Dover by NCAL, by Habitat, by Milford Housing and others. And we all sort of hope that there's a tipping point there that as these new properties get built, you know, those neighborhoods become more and more attractive and more and more marketable. Are you finding that to be the case?
No.
No?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay.
No, there's just a stigmatism in that area that, you know, the local investors kind of shy away. You know, you may get some that are from out of state that would come in, you know, as far as using them as rentals and things like that, but not a lot of activity in that area, luckily.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for having me today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Everybody stay safe.
All right, you also. Next order of business is the a report from Mr. Dave Hugg, our City of Dover planner. Mr. Hugg.
Going on in Dover right now, it's a lot is going on in Dover right now. In spite of the pandemic, in spite of sort of what seemed to be some overwhelming economic conditions. And I think Ms. LeBlanc touched on some. Commercial seems to be doing reasonably well, except for a couple of categories, which we expect. Residential is doing better than I expected it would do in Dover at this point in time. We're seeing new business investment, particularly in manufacturing and healthcare and those areas. So, you know, the city is continuing to do pretty well. For those of you that have been tracking it, the box plant, it's not going to be called U.S. Corrugated anymore. The company has decided they're going to come up with a new name that they haven't told us yet. But whatever it's called, I am extremely pleased that except for the closure of a Denrec sewer public notice in, I think, now 8 or 9 days, it was a 10-day notice, all of the permits required to allow them to begin work, site work, water, sewer, highway, whatever, have all been issued, all been approved. And so they will be moving dirt here relatively soon. They have not settled on the property, and we're hoping that will happen. Was supposed to happen actually Friday or Monday. I hope it'll happen this week, but that project is moving forward, and we're all excited about that. can I just give you a scattergun a little bit of some of the projects that are going on in Dover, no particular order? Recently, we had a meeting with the folks involved in the New Kent County Family Court, and they're moving forward with their land acquisition and property assembly and early site plan work. So that project's moving forward. Staff met today with Procter & Gamble for a warehouse expansion on their site in Dover, which is good news. I understand, I haven't confirmed this yet, but I understand that a furniture store has signed a lease and has submitted plans for the old Toys R Us store out on the highway. So that, and that's, furniture is one of those areas that we actually are underrepresented in the retail market. I didn't realize that, but if you look at the market data, we are. Let's see what else is going on. A lot of office activity. And Monica, I don't know whether this is something that you're also seeing, but as of the moment, we all know the State Police Headquarters building is nearing completion out on Bay Road. If you've been by recently, the post office, the steel is up. That project is moving well. In the sort of somewhere in the planning and permitting stage is the Delaware Solid Waste Authority office building near Chesapeake. A new office building that got planning commission approval, site plan approval at Scarborough Road. And I think that's College Road or Walker Road. I can't remember which corner that is, but Mont Blanc Avenue, a new office building. Also, we've been talking to some people about a spec office building on Bay Road, down near the American Legion in that same general area. Let's see, what else here it's been going on. We've had on Friday of last week, we had a company in town, did a site visit with Kent Economic Partnership and some of us looking at a potential manufacturing site in Kent County. They were very impressed with Garrison Oak, which we market as hard as we can as a shovel-ready site, one of the few in Kent County. So we're getting good inquiries. One other thing that we did, sometimes it's interesting to find out what you don't know about what you know. We had some, we being Kent County Economic Partnership in Dover and Smyrna, met with a site selector, group of site selectors about a month or so ago, just to kind of figure out, you know, what do they do? How do they look at an area? What do they look for? Kent Economic Partnership provided some funding, and we hired a gentleman who is in the food and beverage site location business. He ran us through a mock exercise in pretending that he had a relatively large food and beverage manufacturer looking at Central Delaware. This last week, with a lot of assistance from a lot of people, thank you, Rachel Engel, by the way, we put together an RFI response, and we'll know on Thursday what our grade is. It was certainly a passing grade, but may not have been an A. But it really brought home to us how sophisticated these site selectors are and what they're looking for, and how critical it is that Dover be on the leading edge of being able to provide information and provide contacts and reach out to these businesses that are making decisions now, not in, you know, years, but in weeks and months. So I think we're going to learn a lot from that. Otherwise, sir, the economy of Dover seems to be doing reasonably well. I don't see any major threats. Nobody's told me that, you know, somebody's moving out of town or anything. I'm pretty pleased with what we're seeing.
Any questions from members of the committee for Mr. Hugg about the progress? Councilman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Hugg, if you don't have this information, it's perfectly fine. I can look it up later, but I haven't had a chance to recently. Do you know what the unemployment rate is in the Dover Metro right now?
You know, sir, I don't know. The last data I looked at, it was in the teens, but I don't think that's an accurate number today. I don't know.
That's okay. I'll look it up. Not a problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other members of the committee questions or comments to Mr. Hug? Well, thank you, sir. Any members of the committee have any announcements or anything they'd like to share with us above and beyond what we've discussed today on our rather short agenda? Come on, don't be shy. Well,
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. I just want to encourage people to tune in tonight at 6 o'clock if they can. To the Council Committee of the Whole and participate if they want to give their opinion one way or the other.
And also don't forget, Councilman Anderson, we also have those Parks and Recreation workshops that are going to be available virtually.
That's true. I plan to be on Thursdays and I'll see if I can make it tonight. I'm not as optimistic.
So also, folks, if you want to attend the Council Committee of the Whole meetings, Mr. Anderson provides virtual refreshments. So our next meeting date is January the 12th, 2021, which will be a bigger and better year for Dover. So if there's nothing else to Ms. Laird, you need to unmute.
Know that. Okay, I just wanted to say we're 10 days away from Christmas, and if you have any Christmas shopping to do and can focus on downtown shops, I know they'd really appreciate it. I'm sure they're concerned for a dark winter in many ways, but I know they would appreciate your business. Just wanted to put in a plug there.
That's a good comment. And a commercial, we'll bill you for that later.
Will do.
Or you can bring virtual donuts next time. So if there's nothing else to bring before the committee, Ms. LeBlanc, thank you again for being here. And we may call upon you or Ms. Edwards to keep us in the loop about the real estate business in Dover and Kent County. I'll entertain a motion at this time to adjourn.
So moved, and Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to everyone.
I'll second. Same sentiments.
All in favor of the motion to adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Be safe, be well. Let's have a happy and better new year. See you on the 12th of January.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel.
You're welcome.